Good morning, Open Door Baptist Church. We're glad to have you all here this morning. Will you all please stand as we open up with Bless That Wonderful Name of Jesus. Amen. Wonderful name of Jesus. You know, that's why we are here, to proclaim what he has done for us and to proclaim it to the world. Amen. We all bow your heads. We open up with prayer this morning. Dear Lord Jesus, God, I praise you this morning, Lord, that you have given your blood for us to redeem us to yourself for our sins, Lord. And Lord, I thank you that we can come here and praise your wonderful name, proclaim your wonderful name to this dying world, God. God, you have what this world needs. And we just want to tell the whole world about you and that wonderful grace that you have for them, Lord, that saving grace. And Lord, I ask that you'll be with us this morning. I ask your Holy Spirit to be upon us as we worship you and as we hear your word that Richie has for us this morning, God. I pray anointing of your Holy Spirit upon everything that we say and do, that everything that we do, God, points to you. And I thank you for it all, naming your son, Jesus. Amen.
I search the world. Yeah.
God can turn bones into armies. Amen.
Blessed be your name in the land that is plentiful, bring the stream.
sometimes that's a hard song to sing, isn't it? But you know, when that song's hard to sing, we can cry out to God. He's always there for us. Amen. Lord, I come. I confess. Thou
Let us pray. Father, that is our call. Father, we need you. Father, many of us in this place struggle for many different reasons. Father, we have fallen in so many ways. But our one defense is our righteousness, and that is Christ in us. And so we call out on your most holy and precious name, Lord. And we ask you, Lord, to forgive us of our sins, to help us, Lord, in our areas of weakness. But, Lord, help us to be able to praise you because you died on the cross for each and every one of us. That we can sing our praise to you because you arose from the dead, that you yourself have conquered sin. And so, Lord, when we find ourselves in you, we find ourselves in righteousness. So, Lord, help us, each and every one of us. Take this praise that we have sang to you, Lord. May it be a sweet aroma to you, Lord. But as we continue on for this service, Lord, that you will bless your speaker today, Lord. You will help him in a very mighty and powerful way. You will speak through him to us and that we will be changed because of your word. So, Lord, we just want to stop for a moment to say thank you for all that you do for us. We thank you, Father, for loving us so much. And we want to tell you that we love you. And we thank you in all things. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Well, good morning. I'm going to do two very quick things here and get them out of the way so I don't forget. Don't forget your shoe boxes are due by 11:13. And if you haven't gotten a shoe box, there's many out there that you can take. Take them all, please. But they're due back by 11:13. And also the security meeting that was for after church today has been canceled. So we'll get that out of the way. But I want to turn your focus now to communion, a time when we come together to partake of the table of the elements that symbolize the blood and body of Christ. And this table that we come, we call it a table because usually it's up here, but thanks to COVID, we don't do that anymore. But we want to look at these elements and see how important they are and what they symbolize and what do they mean. It means that we can rejoice and celebrate that because of the blood of Christ, we are saved. And in that, we have eternal life. So we have a joy in that. But also we have the bread that which symbolizes the body, which was broken. And we can't forget that. We can never forget the price that was paid for our salvation. It was horrific. And it was real. And it hurt. But because of both of these, the blood and body of Christ, that's where we find our righteousness. Amen. And that's where we can find our community together, our like-mindedness is in Christ alone. And that is our salvation, in Christ alone. There is no other way. It's only through what Christ did on the cross that you and I have hope. Not a hope-so hope, but a no-so hope. A hope that is guaranteed and for sure. And that's why we can go through the life like that last psalm. Mike said, you know, these songs can be difficult to sing. And you do because we often struggle in life and things hinder us and burden us and hold us back. But we have hope because Christ broke that chain that has that bondage over us. And we don't have to be enslaved to that anymore, and we thank Christ for that. So as we come to the table today, as we come to this time, first find you a cup somewhere near you. You'll find one. And just shake it up a little bit. That'll help it, just so you know. And then there's a very small film cover on the top. Be very careful. Just there's a film on top. Peel it back without peeling the foil back, and you'll find the bread there. But before we come to this table, as you're doing that, I want to explain to you that as we come to this table, that the Scripture tells us in 1 Corinthians 11 that we are to examine ourselves, that we are to take a moment and find ourselves in meditation, in prayer with Christ, in that do we have any sin that reigns in us? Do we have anything that we hold against another brother or sister in Christ? I'm not talking about a disagreement, but I'm talking about a disfellowship of another brother or sister in Christ. Is there anything in you that has separated you from someone? Listen, there's not a single person in here holding this cup that is not without sin. There isn't one, including me. But the thing here is that I don't take this without first examining myself and asking God for the forgiveness of those things in my heart. And if you have a grievance against somebody that you've broken fellowship with, then you need to go make that right before you come to this table. You need to go make that right. So I want you to just take a moment and examine yourself. Let me read scripture to you from 1 Corinthians 11, verse 27. It says, therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For whoever eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment of himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. That means death. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world. Therefore, my brothers, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. But if anyone is hungry, let him eat at home, lest you come together for judgment. And the rest I will set in order when I come. And that's what we're waiting for, right? The return of the Lord. So take a moment and pray and make sure that your heart is right before the Lord. This that you hold in your hand symbolizes the body of Christ. And I want to read to you. It says, for I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. We have to remember the sacrifice of Christ's body, what he had to go through. Let us never forget that. It's a painful thought. It's a painful thing to see, but we must remember. So as we partake of this, I'm going to ask Brother Richie, would you bless the bread, please?
Gracious Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your love, your mercy, your grace. God, we ask that as we look upon your bread, as we look upon your body, we just, Lord, we take these few moments
Amen. Take, eat in remembrance of him. Now you want to peel that foil back just a little bit there. This juice, this cup, symbolizes the blood of Christ. It is so precious. The blood of Christ is so valuable. Because for without it, there would be no forgiveness of sin. He gave his life. He gave his blood on that cross for you and I. He paid for something that he never had a debt for. He paid your debt and my debt. He who knew no sin became my sin, your sin, that in his blood, that we would find eternal life. And that's how we can celebrate. Actually, it's the whole Christmas story. It's how we can celebrate, is that through his death that we have life. And we know that he arose 3 days later and that he ascended into heaven. We have that hope. We have that guarantee. We have that same blessing in our own lives, that even though we may one day die, we will still live. Amen. Amen. Let me read the scripture for you. It says, in the same manner he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is a new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Brother Zeke, would you bless the cup, please? Yes.
We thank you that your blood covers the sins of all who would repent, believe, and follow. We are grateful, Lord, that we could never understand how great your love is for us and how great your love is for justice, that you would shed your blood so that we can stand before you without condemnation. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Drink. Till he comes. Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Kathy. So now I got a treat for you. I'm not preaching. It's a five Sunday month, and Mr. Davis called to remind me of that, that it's a five Sunday month, and we agreed to let him preach on the fifth Sunday of the five Sunday months. And so I called him this morning. I said, it better be a short sermon. He says, as a matter of fact, it is. So it worked out. Come on. Give us the word, Rich.
It is a five Sunday month. Thank you. It is a five Sunday month, and it's funny, I started trying to go back through. This tradition that we've had for the five Sunday month has gone back a long time. Actually, at this point, I've been here for more than 15 years, and as far as I could tell, it goes back over 10 years that we've been doing this. It has been a blessing and an honor to get to do this, and I appreciate everyone who's been here for a while, because you guys have watched me grow a lot, and I tortured you a lot in the beginning, and I apologize, but you've held on with me here, and so I do have a word for you this morning, but before we get into that, I wanted to start by playing a little game. And if I'm going to play a game, I feel like it's only important that I would bring some people to play along with me. So Larry and Zeke, if you guys got a second, if you can come up here. Yeah. Neither one of you knew this was coming, so this is totally a surprise. I know you don't. I know you don't. If you just stand on this side, Zeke, and Larry, if you just want to stand on this side.
Why do I got to be on the left?
Because.
Yeah. Why can't I be over there?
Why can't I be there?
There's always one in every bunch.
Maybe two.
Not a question of it. So what I'm going to do today is I have two boxes here. There is a prize in one of these boxes, and there's not a prize in the other box. Larry, you don't get to look at your box yet. You just get to stand there. Zeke, I'm going to ask you to look inside your box carefully, very quietly. Take a look. Take a seat. Oh, yeah. It's not alive. There is no squirrel or any live animals in here. Please do not worry.
Same question I was going to ask.
There is also no snakes. Don't worry. I would never do that to Larry. Go ahead and just take a look and see. All right, don't say anything. Okay. Now, see, there's a prize in a box, yours or his. Larry, your object here is to get the prize. You have to make a decision whether you want this box or you want his box. Zeke, you get to just tell him whether he wants your box or not. It's a simple game. Larry, you get to make the decision. I'll give you guys How about half a minute to discuss it?
He doesn't know you don't know what's in your box.
I don't know what's in my box.
Could be empty.
I
know what's in mine.
Is it something in it?
There is something in it.
Okay. Is it nothing?
It is not nothing, it is something.
Something.
It is green and red, and it is in a bag.
Green and red and in a bag.
And you can eat it.
I'm in.
All right. Don't open it yet.
All right, so Larry, go ahead and open your box and find out whether you won the prize or not.
Sweet.
Oh, yeah. So Larry did win. He won a prize of a bag of lettuce. Prize being the relative term here.
What's
that thing? Oh, that's a tomato. I mean, I don't know what your feelings are to own tomatoes, but I thought I'd just give you a low price. This is yours to take home. All right, go. Yeah, you're good. We'll take those out of the boxes now. I'll put these away. You guys are good to go back down.
Where's my prize?
Oh, you didn't get a prize. You lost the game.
Hey, brother, I'll donate this to the farm.
Thank you.
All
right. Is it iceberg? The bunnies can eat it.
You'd have to ask the girls. We bought it from the school. Is it iceberg lettuce,
well,
Lana?
The kids won't eat it. You want the animals to eat it?
Thank you, guys. I know it sounds like a little bit of a weird game. I promise I'll bring it back a little bit later on in the sermon, all right? If you would, though, let's pray. Gracious Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for the opportunity we have that we can serve you, that we can run to you. God, thank you for this day that we have, that we can have some humor and some grown men trying to fight over a bag of lettuce. Lord, I just pray as we come before your throne today that we can set aside all the chaos, that we can set aside our drama, set aside all of the troubles and trials that we have going on. Lord, I pray that today as we come before your throne, that, Lord, we can just have you be our focus for just a little bit here. Lord, allow us to come before you fresh and clean. Lord, allow us to come before you, and Lord, I just pray your Holy Spirit rain down on this place that we can take something from your word. God, I pray all of these things in your most wonderful and gracious name. Amen. You ever get distracted? Do you ever take your eyes off the prize? You ever lose focus on what you're doing? Is it ever difficult for you to focus on the Lord? I struggle with that a lot. I struggle with getting distracted. I see shiny stuff and tend to just lean towards it, run to it. I can't help but watching funny videos and getting distracted by them at times, a lot. But the truth is, today I wanted to share a word with you about our world. I wanted to share a little bit of a word about deception and distraction. So if you have your Bibles with you, open up to 1 John chapter 2. We're going to read 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 all the way to 29 today. If you don't have your Bibles with you, it's okay. We'll have it on the screen in a second here. First John chapter 2, verse 15 starts off like this. It says, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride in one's possessions, is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world with the lust is passing away, but the one who does the will of God remains forever. Children, in its last hour, as you have heard, that Antichrist is coming. Even now, many Antichrists have come. By this we know that this is the last hour. They went out from us, but they did not belong to us. For if they belonged to us, they would have remained with us. However, they went out so that it might be made clear that none of them belonged to us. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and all of you know the truth. I have not written to you because you don't know the truth, but because you do know it, and because no lie comes from the truth. Who is the liar, if not the one who denies that Jesus is the Christ? This one is the Antichrist, the one who denies the Father and the Son. No one who denies the Son has the Father. He who confesses the Son has the Father as well. So what you have heard from the beginning is to remain in you. If what you have heard from the beginning remains in you, then you will remain in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he himself made to us, eternal life. I have written these things to you concerning those who are trying to deceive you. As for you, the anointed you received from him remains in you, and you don't need anyone to teach you. Instead, his anointing teaches you about all things and is true and not a lie, just as it has taught you. Remain in him. So now, little children, remain in him so that when he appears, he may have confidence and not be ashamed before him as his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you know this as well. Everyone who does what is right has been born of him. So I want to discuss three major things that we can learn about the world through this text. And number one is that the world is distracting. Now, I have to be honest with you guys. I came across this passage as I was preparing and as I was doing my studies this week. And I couldn't help but think about the world and how messed up our world is that we live in. I mean, sadly, we live in a world that's so focused on all of the negative and the bad. So let me just share with you a couple of the headlines from this morning. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I pulled from Fox and CNN, and I removed all political headlines. It was incredibly difficult to do. So the first one I came across was, you come in contact with a cobra. Do you know what to do next?
Yes. Call Deanna. Deanna saved my life this week, just so you all know.
There we go. Now we know. All right, I don't have to read that article now. Good. The next one was, there are real-life vampires living in New Orleans and Atlanta. Two teens charged with attempted homicide in Pittsburgh shooting that injured six. Elon Musk rumored to be making company-wide cuts amid Twitter takeover. He is now the head twit. That was truthfully the title of the article. New York man allegedly lured 7-year-old girl into apartment, and I'm not going to finish the rest. LeBron has message for Musk after spread of racial slur on Twitter. I know. I picked CNN and Fox because they're the most traditional, and if I had to ask for a raise of hands, I'm sure most of you read one of the two, but the sad truth is if we go to our local paper, we would find very much the same. Again, I did omit all of the political-focused ads that were in there. And I say ads because it's not really true media at this point. It's honestly just ads, okay? From both sides. There were more than 20 politically focused articles just in the headlines alone when preparing and looking at this. I didn't have time to honestly pick any of them that weren't just biased from one side or the other, so I went with skipping all of them. But when you look at all of these articles, the one thing that remains the same is they're all negative and distracting. Except for the Cobra one, which I gotta be honest with you. I did some quick research on that. Do you know there's only one species of cobra that's found in the United States? Say that again?
Mustang.
No.
Ford.
No. 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 Yeah, I know. It's okay. Listen, the only cobras found in the United States, the only type of snake known as a cobra found in the United States, is found in the southeast of the United States, and it is a king snake of some kind. I don't remember the exact name of it, wasn't really interested in it. Not something we have to worry about, not sure why it's in headlines when I looked up. Moving on. Why so negative? Why is everything so focused on the bad? Sex sells. Violence sells. Scary sells. That's why one of the articles says there are real-life vampires living in New Orleans and Atlanta. Because when you hear that headline, you go, what? There's no such thing as vampires. I gotta find out. What do you mean? I didn't click on the article. I can't answer the question. Don't ask. Aside from the obvious bias that's contained in every news station that is currently on the planet, and don't tell me they're not biased, they are. As you scroll through the news or read it in your paper, you find the same thing that all the rest of the media does. They draw your attention. Netflix, Hulu, Prime, the TV, pick your poison, pick your choice, it distracts you. Everything we do when it comes to watching TV, reading the media, reading the news, it's all distraction. Is distraction bad? Not at all. There are times when distraction can be good. We all deserve to have a little bit of relaxation in our lives. Whatever your relaxation is, whether that be racing or Judge Judy, it's okay. A little bit is not going to hurt us. I play video games every now and then. Not many of you guys know that. I don't talk about it a lot, but I enjoy playing video games as a piece of relaxation. Truthfully, more than anything, I enjoy it because I get to talk with some people I can't always talk to. Yesterday, I got to play with both, thank you, Blake. Yesterday, I got to play with both Colin and Derek playing a game, hanging out, just talking. It was a good time. Hey, buddy, you need to go sit down. Thanks.
Distractions.
Not all distractions are bad, right? But distractions do one thing. They take your eyes off of the prize. Look at the beginning of the text that we read, right? Do not love the world or the things of the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride in one's possession is not from the Father, but is of the world. And the world with its lust is passing away. But the one who does the will of God remains forever. Loving the world is not a good thing. Verse 6 says, everything in the world, lust of the flesh, adultery, homosexuality, fornication, just as an example, these sins that are the lust of the flesh, we get caught up in the things that attract our flesh. Lust of the eyes, jealousy or coveting. Right? The things that we want that we can't necessarily have. Or pride in one's possessions. Things like arrogance and greed. These things aren't good. They're not of God. These things are from the world. So of those news lines that I read you, are any of them bringing your eyes to the Lord? Well, see, that's the point of the world. It's trying to distract you. It's trying to get your eyes off of the prize. Verse 17 says, the world with its lust is passing away, but the one who does the will of God remains forever. So when we look at these verses, the beginning of these focuses on us, right? You look at those texts and you look at the lust of the flesh and lust of eyes and pride in one's possessions. Those all focus on us. It's quite literally sin about me and what I want and what I want to focus on. But you look at that final piece there in verse 17, the contrast there is that the world with its lust is passing away, and the one who does the will of God will remain forever. So while the world is very distracting, our priority needs to be focusing on God. The things of this world are going to pass away. It's not a question. They're going to pass away. So let me ask, how many of you guys have ever bought a brand new car? It's awesome, right? Driving around, it feels nice and smooth. National average for a little while, national average is 12 to 15,000 miles a year. Matt, that was last week or the week before? Right? Listen, I got to be honest. I drive 25-ish thousand miles a year on my vehicle. I know, Zeke, you got to be pretty close, and Matt's up there, if not more. Look, the truth is, for some of us who drive far, we drive our cars until the tires fall off, and we put them back on and go again. Right? Until they fall off again. That's right, Blake. The truth is, we know that our cars, our vehicles, they wear down, right? How many of you guys have ever bought a new phone? How many of you guys have bought a new phone recently? I know Donna's excited about hers, kinda. We buy new phones because the old ones, they wear down, they tear apart, they fall and break when we drop them on rocks, whatever it might be. You know, the things of this world, they're falling apart. They go bad over time. But the things of this world that are of the flesh do the same thing. You know, the truth about the sins of the flesh when it comes to things like adultery is there's a temptation there that people have, but when they get what they want, they find that's not what they wanted in the first place. You know, the truth when it comes to jealousy and coveting is very similar. We get jealous of people for what they have or what we don't have. When we covet somebody's items that we want, when we get what they had, we realize that it's not really any better. Adultery doesn't last. Fornication doesn't last. Jealousy, greed, envy, these things are part of the world and they are they're sadly going to, gladly going to pass away. These sins all point to us. These sins all look at the small picture, not the big picture. Actually, Kevin did an incredible analogy in Sunday school. He brought up that we look at the tree instead of the forest. And see, these sins all focus on one tree instead of the big picture of the forest. The Lord has prepared everything for his purpose, even the wicked for the day of disasters, Proverbs 16:4. Sometimes it's hard for us to see this. Sometimes it's hard for us to see the big picture or the good. Sometimes it's hard for us to see and understand what God's plan is or what his purpose for us is. This, my friends, is why it's so incredibly important to be part of the fellowship with believers. This is why church is so important. See, distractions, they happen, right? They happen every day, some of us more than others. Some of us get distracted with everything we do. Some of us don't. But distractions are out there everywhere. So how do we combat those distractions? Well, when we have believers who are in the fellowship with us, who are holding us accountable, who are challenging us, who are picking on, who are working with us, Freudian slip, I apologize. Look, when we have brothers and sisters who are working with us, who are in the same goals and same like-minded objectives as us, you know, the thing is, we end up having this desire to be less and less distracted. We build one another up. The truth is, iron sharpens iron isn't just a great quote to throw on your wall or to have on your back of your car. The truth about iron sharpening iron is we're better together because we can make one another stronger. Sunday school is an incredible use of that. Don't believe me? Come and sit and get made fun of for a little bit in the Dudes and Donuts class. Poor Jason. Jason's got to have the toughest skin of anybody around. But we love one another. We build one another up. We work together and we strengthen one another. That's the purpose of Sunday school. Growing together. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25 says this. It says, let us consider one another in order to provoke love and good works. Not neglecting to gather together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging each other, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Look, this verse here, right, it's talking about provoking love and good works. We're called to gather together to lift each other up. And the funny thing is, like Matt said this morning in Sunday school, when you do that, we start to like each other even. We start to get this bond where, you know, you almost want to be here. You almost want to hang out sometimes. You almost want to hang out with some of those people. We have to think of others when we think about getting together. We have to look at the reality, the big picture. And look, I know we're busy. I know everybody in this building is busy. All right, some of us are more busy than others, fine. I know some of you retired, that's awesome, congrats. Okay, John's not here to pick on at the moment, but I know John loves retirement. I know Kevin loved retirement. They find that they're more busy after retirement. Actually, everybody I've talked to has told me since they retired, they're more busy. I know that everybody has their own lives. Whatever excuse you have for why you can't make it to something or another, or better said, maybe whatever distraction you have for why you can't make it to something or another. But the truth is that we are a body of believers that needs to spur one another on. We need to work together, to be better together, to strengthen one another, to help protect each other from the distractions of the world. At least until we get distracted, right? Well, the next major piece of this text that I want to talk about today is this. See, the world has wolves. And no, I'm not just talking about the actual wolves that are outside or the coyotes that are outside. There's plenty of those too. Verse 18 says this. It says, children, in the last hour, as you've heard that Antichrist is coming. Even now, many Antichrists have come. And by this, we know that this is the last hour. They went out from us, but they did not belong to us. For if they had belonged to us, they would have remained with us. However, they went out so that it might be made clear that none of them actually belonged to us. But you have an anointing from the Holy Spirit, and all you know the truth. I have not written this because you don't know the truth, but because you do know it, because no lie comes from the truth. Who is the liar, if not the one who that denies Jesus was the Christ? This one is the Antichrist, the one who denies the Father and the Son, so no one denies the Son has the Father, and he who confesses the Son has the Father as well. Now, I need to give you a quick note. When it says Antichrists here, when this worded Antichrists, this is not specifically talking about the only single Antichrist that is coming at the end. This, when you have to understand, is more like the wolves that are hiding among us, the ones that are not for Christ or Antichrists. While we are little Christs, these are people who are against the word. These are people who are against God. These are people who come and they hide within our flock, who hang out for a little while and then disappear. These are the ones who show up, who needed something, who had a desperate desire to come in and be a part of us, and then after they got their need, they left. Verse 19 says, literally, they went out from us, but they did not belong to us. For if they had belonged, they would have remained in us. Look, I am not going to tell you that it is always easy to get along with every person in the church. I know Larry and Zeke very well. They're both hard to love. I'm pretty easy to love, I know. No, listen, we're all hard to love at times. Ask my father-in-law. He will tell you all the times. Kevin will tell you all the time, I'm not always easy to love, especially when I show pictures of him. None today, I promise. Look, we're not all easy to love. Sometimes we have moments, we have days where, look, maybe you just don't want to hang out with me. Maybe I'm too loud. All right, I'm really too loud, I know, okay? Maybe my children are too loud. That's okay, too. Maybe you don't like my silly hair. Maybe you don't like the silly tone of my voice. Whatever it may be, it's okay. We don't have to be besties every day. But more importantly, if I offend you in some way, shape, or form, I pray you come to me and talk with me about it. Because, church, I'm going to be honest. The point when we leave because somebody offended us, or because you didn't like my silly grin, we're just making excuses. Okay? Church, here's the truth. We have to be on guard against these wolves because there are wolves in the church. And I preached a whole sermon at one point about the wolves that were among us. And the truth of that matter is, it is going to only become an increasing problem in our day and age. The people who are against us are going to continue to hide among us. Church is not a social club. We are not a golf course. There's a sacrifice that comes along with being a member of the church. When asked, when you come up to the altar, when you come and talk to Larry about being joining the church, he asks you a bunch of questions. And then he makes you read, or makes Donna read, to you, right? If you get lucky enough, he makes you read a bunch of material. If you don't think that's just sacrifice, then you must like reading, and more power to you. But part of the things we ask you when you choose to join the church is whether you're going to serve faithfully at a reasonable amount of time. We ask if you're going to financially support the church. We ask if you're going to attend regularly. Now, I know those don't sound like huge sacrifices to a lot of you because a lot of you as members are used to that. But the truth is, to faithfully serve, it takes being here. Every single Sunday or Wednesday, depending on where how involved you are, right? It takes when you're financially supporting the church, that means you're giving a piece of who you are, a piece of what you've earned. Listen, I'm not going to preach the entire sermon on tithing, but the truth is, tithing is a sacrifice. And sometimes that hurts you. Now, I'm not going to tell you that God doesn't reward you, because he does. But a sacrifice hurts sometimes. So church, we need to remember that wolves are among us. And we need to be on guard. We need to be on guard because they're hiding in so many places that we can't even see them unless we're ready. Now, I know. You're thinking, how do you be ready? You don't know when a wolf. Sometimes we can't always discern that, right? Yeah, you're right. Absolutely. It's very difficult to discern when somebody is a wolf. Unless you're reading your Bible and studying scripture. Because then you're going to recognize that when I start telling you that if you tithe just to me, you know, then you're going to gain some kind of blessing, then you start to understand, wait a minute, hold on. Richie's starting to say some weird stuff again. Right? Because then you know something's off. When you start hearing somebody start saying things about, oh, well, come to this or come to that because you'll gain a blessing from it. Well, there's some truth in a blessing from a class, but if it's just because you can give money to a class, there might be something wrong. If it's just because they want you to hear somebody speak in a certain way or a healing to happen in a certain way, we need to be on guard, which requires that we actually know the word. It requires us to be prepared. 1 Peter 5:8 reminds us that. Be sober-minded, be alert. For your adversary, the devil, is prowling around like a roaring lion, looking for anyone that he can devour. So church, we have to be on guard. My last major thing that I want to show you through this text is that the world is deceitful. Verse 26, I have written these things to you concerning those who are trying to deceive you. As for you, the anointing you received from him remains in you, and you don't need anyone to teach you. Instead, his anointing teaches you about all things and is true and is not a lie, just as it is taught you. Remain in him. So many different types of deception in our world. You have simple deception, like telling somebody there's a prize in a box. Right? Just a little bit of deception there. Or telling your pastor and fellow teacher that it's a game you're going to play. But there's also other types of deception, right? So I think I got some examples. I don't know, maybe the pictures work, maybe they don't. Hey, there we go. You got a deception like the ice cream on the left there. Right? Simple, definitely looks like the picture of a panda. Now, my personal favorite, though, the one on the right here, corn dogs for sale, one for $1 or two for $2. We're just not even trying anymore at that point, I think. Or the real best option there is, you ever pay attention to the way McDonald's or Burger King advertises their burgers versus what they really look like? Listen, there's all sorts of deception that are out there in our world. Marketing is designed entirely with deception in mind. Think to sales signs that say prices start as low as $9.99. Do you ever find the product that's $9.99 in the store? Very, very, very rarely. Or how about, you know, when you go in and it says, furniture sale, 50% off. Up to, in very small words. How about dietary supplements? Work instantly. Results may vary. Listen, I'm sure that I'm not the only one who falls for the food deception. You look at a burger and it looks awesome and you're like, man, this is great. I'm in for it. And you get there and you go, wow, this is terrible. How about the deception the world uses on us, though, about God? What do you know and how are you preparing? See, the Holy Spirit works through believers, but we also have to be prepping and be prepared to be able to defend against the deception that the world has. See, the world tries to deceive us in all kinds of ways. They try to tell us that we don't need church. We can just watch it on TV. That's not true. The world tries to get us deceived thinking that we don't need to come to church so we can just do it all on Facebook now. Let me tell you, you're sick, it's a great option to go. Stay home if you're sick. Be mindful of others, right? But you're missing out still. The world tries to deceive us into believing that it's our time and that we're wasting it by coming to church. Because truthfully, there's some of us who have been here since 8:30-ish in the morning, 9 o'clock. And if that preacher just keeps on going, it might be 1 o'clock before we leave. The world tries to deceive us into believing that we're not saved. You watch enough YouTube and distracting TV or distracting videos, and you can find the deception that exists. So, my friends, what is it that we have to do to be in defense? Three words: practice, prepare, and pray. We need to practice what we preach. We need to practice the word to be able to be defending against the deceptions. We need to prepare for battles and be ready, because there are those who will come against us. And we need to pray to keep our eyes on the Lord so we don't get distracted. I know this sounded like a silly game, but the point of the game was to keep your eyes on the prize. Are your eyes on the Lord, or are you distracted by the deceptions of everything else? Pray with me as the praise band comes forward. Gracious Father, thank you. Thank you for this day. Thank you for your love and for your mercy. But God, today, we also thank you for the ability we have that we can gather and discuss your word. Lord, I pray that today as we come before your throne, that you forgive us of our sins, that you strengthen us up, and that you rise up a church filled with faithful leaders and followers for you. I pray that you continue to guide us and lead us, Lord, and it's in your great name we pray. Amen. Amen.
We all please stand.
Thank you.
Pastor Larry, as we were singing that song, you know, I was thinking, what do we do with distractions? The song just tells us, when all the things that surround me become shadows in the light of you, I worship you.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Let's think about that this week.
Amen. Well, thank you for the word, Regina. Very good. Thank you.